Games Daily for Wednesday, September 5th, 2018. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the Rogue One, Gary Whitta.
I love Wednesdays.
Because you get to come hang out with me?
I like coming in, hanging out with you, yeah.
Just hold me for a second. Mate, okay. You're so warm.
I thought we were going to
see you're in shorts and a t-shirt. I'm freezing. You're warm.
Really?
Yeah.
Isn't it, don't you have cold weather where you come from?
Well, yeah. I mean, that was 12 years ago. I come from here now. Yeah. Like, that's how it is, right? There's got to be an expiration
date. One of the things I like about San Francisco is it's very much like British weather. It's
sure.
Like, kind of tends to be fairly mild and not too rainy, not too warm.
Well, I like it. It's always right fall. I always say it's fall. You know, you always have to have a sweatshirt with you. That's what I like about it.
It's all about layers.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Layers. You think you've got it going on right now?
I do, I know. Well, eventually I know I'll warm up. Whenever I do the show, the lights, it gets me hot.
Yeah, it gets me hot. Yeah, okay, good. It's good to know.
Your shirt's very lovely. Who's this?
This is Khalif Adams from Spawn On Me.
Spawn On Me is Khalif Adams, member of the kind of funny rogue gallery.
I love Khalif. You had him on the show, right?
Yeah. And he did the PAX tournament with us, too.
Oh, he did? How did he do?
Not well. A lot of people weren't expecting to go out as quick as they did. Super Sports Matchin', it's a game that pulls no punches.
So that was the game. I asked you earlier what you had played for that, and that was the one game you mentioned that I wasn't familiar with. What is it?
You remember like NES Track and Field?
Yeah.
It's a bunch of those kind of events.
Button mashing?
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. You're alternating buttons to run. There's another one where you're running out of jump over stuff. You're shooting, but you're feeding animals. You're shooting stuff up to them. You're playing basketball.
It's called Super Sports
Matching.
Matching.
Super, and then it's Sports Matching, all one word.
Okay.
It's like Sport Match EN. Super. It's a terrible name.
I know Track and Field. I know Hyper Sports.
This one's super fun. It's
this
super
one
crazy.
I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. So it was great. And we've done a bunch of party modes and stuff. YouTube.com/kindoffunnygames. In fact, while I'm here, I'll just throw a bone to somebody. How about that, Gary? You ever do that?
Throwing a bone?
Yeah, hold on. I wasn't prepared.
I wasn't aware you even had a bone.
I got bones for everybody. Hiram Reed wrote into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, I wasn't able to watch the Kind of Funny inner website video game tournament from PAX. Will there be a video available on Twitch or YouTube? Tim, should we put that up, you think, on Kind of Funny Games, the tournament with everybody?
Yeah.
Kevin, can we break that out? Can we go record that off Twitch? I can get you the link.
Yes.
All right, we're going to put it up. We'll put it up for you, yes. Probably over the weekend on games, I guess, or maybe Friday, but somewhere in there. And then you also, Hiram Reed wrote in again to say, hi, KFGD crew. I tried to watch the PAX Quest for the Perfect Superman game live on Twitch, and most of it was lost due to the channel going offline for some time. Did anyone record the audio and or video of the entire panel? Hiram, Jared Petty did, and he'll be putting that up on his YouTube channel. Took a lot of shots at you during that panel.
Jared did?
Yeah, because you didn't come. You were supposed to come.
I made a lot of promises to people over the years, and I've pretty much the one thing you can count on is that you can't count on me.
Today, you were in the kitchen, and Kevin walked out from here, and he's like, oh, you're here. You came back. And you're like, yeah, it's Wednesday. Of course I am. You are very much Goodwill Hunting, where one day it's going to be a Wednesday, you're not going to come.
We're
going to be what happened. Oh, he moved to LA. He went full time.
Well, no, hold on though. If I don't make it in, I always. It's not like I just ghost. If I'm not coming in, you will know in plenty of time.
But it also kind of sounds like a Gary Whitta thing to do.
At like 5 minutes to 12, are you thinking like, is Gary going to show?
No.
Okay.
No. Exactly. There was that one time where I did, and you said, "Oh man, that's today," and then you buzzed five minutes later.
I joked. I was right outside, and I pretended. See, I got you.
If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, kindoffunny.com/KFGD, with your questions, comments, concerns, bad PSN names, and everything else under the video game sun. Then watch us record it live, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up, so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and listening on podcast services around the globe. Housekeeping for you. It is September. It is Spider-Man month. It is shirtless Spider-Man month. You can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Get this right now. Shirtless Spider-Man cover art for the PlayStation 4 version of Spider-Man. You can print it off for free right now. Don't have to give us a dime on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. But if you want to go the extra mile, support us at the fan mail tier, you can give donate to the fan mails here. You'll get this glossy cover of Shirtless Spider-Man that I'll sign because I am his photographer. You can also go to patreon.com/kindoffunny, and there you can get the Panda Musk art sent to you, an art print.
Oh,
of
it's
that.
On the back as well.
Oh yeah, Andy went to town on this. It's a full blown PlayStation 4 cover. Second on the list here, RTX London is next week. You can get the entire rundown of what we're doing at kindoffunny.com/RTX London. Today we announced Kinda Funny best friend and Superman's grandpa, Cameron Cuff, will be doing the Kinda Funny panel with us Sunday. Me, Tim, and Andy. We're going back to your old stomping grounds, London.
Yes.
I'm going to ask everybody I see. Do you know Gary Whitta? Do you know Gary Whitta? Have they started a Gary Whitta Museum?
It's a very small town. Everyone knows everyone.
Yeah, exactly. I figure. Yeah. A lot of chimney sweeps. They got one of them had to do your childhood home.
A lot of this. Yes, that's right.
And the final piece of housekeeping is that today we're brought to you by Third Love, but I'll talk about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. Three items on the Roper Report.
Avengers dozen.
Oh, a little bit slow on that one.
Sorry.
He was doing his wind down. No, he was doing the wind down.
The graphic isn't going up, and it's just.
Kevin, don't worry about it.
I hate it.
I know, buddy. Number one, there's going to be a Nintendo Direct tomorrow.
I wondered why Tim was lurking over here.
Of course he was. Of course he was. The news, of course, came from Nintendo online, and then I got a press release. The press release read, set a reminder, a new Nintendo Direct featuring around 35 minutes of information on upcoming Nintendo 3DS and Nintendo Switch titles is coming this Thursday, September 6th at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. Ladies and gentlemen, when there's a Nintendo Direct story, there's only one man to go to. That's right, Nintendo fanboy number one, Tim Gettys. Tim
Gettys.
Switch mics. Switch mics.
Okay.
I like it when I go off camera and talk to you guys and ask the questions.
All right.
Ask
I like
me
this.
Questions,
I like
Greg.
This. I like this better.
Right. It's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you thank just you, like
Gary.
Him.
I just, in general.
Tim, first and foremost, 35-minute Nintendo Direct tomorrow for Nintendo 3DS and Nintendo Switch.
A lot of things to be excited about here. 35-minute Direct, pretty long, pretty hefty of a Direct. Mm-hmm. We're going to get a lot of stuff there.
Is this long by Nintendo Direct standards?
It is. Okay. And what really excites me is it's a worldwide Direct. So they're really, this is going to be a lot of big guns. I don't expect this to be the last big Nintendo Direct of the year. But it is the first over-encompassing Nintendo Direct we've gotten in quite some time. We got a lot of the more game-focused ones, specific ones, like Nindie showcases over the last couple months. But this is, I think, going to be a really big deal. I imagine we'll get another one maybe November time. But what that means is this is the last Nintendo Direct going into the holiday season. And especially, it's probably going to be the last one before Nintendo's online service drops because they've already said second half of September we're there essentially. Will there be Smash stuff? Absolutely. I imagine we'll get some new.
What do you think the key talking point is tomorrow? Is it the online service? Are they going to tell us, share more, do that thing, or is it going to be Smash?
I think that there's going to be online. I almost get the feeling it's not going to be like a full online blowout. It might just be kind of like a little teases here and there.
I do want to hear about the online stuff though.
Yeah, it's, I don't know.
Confirmation of the date, right? Maybe
they,
a final date.
Definitely. Yeah. We'll see that. They tweeted, I think yesterday, Nintendo did, like confirmation that like you can play Mario Bros. Online multiplayer using the Nintendo Switch Online service. And everyone's like, no one cares. Like, it feels really weird that the, it seems like the current Nintendo, 2018 Nintendo, is just nailing it so hard. And then
they're nailing it hard.
Their online service guys are just, like, it feels like old school Nintendo.
Yeah.
I hope that tomorrow's Direct changes that. I hope that it kind of crosses
I mean, that's the plan, right? They've got they've talked, at least in vague terms, about very ambitious plans for this online service.
We can hope. I think we're going to see updates, or at least like kind of just like reiterations of information we already know on a bunch of games coming this year. Super Mario Party, we've seen very little of. The biggest blowout we've seen was at Gamescom recently, but like this is where they need to talk about it. The game's coming out next month.
What do you want it to be? What does it need to be to impress you, the online thing?
I thought you were saying in general the Direct. You put that online
for the
thing
for the online thing in general. What for you to pony up like $10 a month or like add it to your litany of subscriptions? Like, what does it need to be?
They've already got me sold.
I was gonna say that crazy. It doesn't have to be anything. It's gonna give you a fart emoji. And yeah,
it could literally.
Like, all right, here's my
$20. Here's the deal, Gettys. Just give us $10 a month. What do I get?
All right,
you get the pleasure of giving us $10 a month. I'm in.
That's absolutely not the case. I was not planning on getting the online because I don't really care too much about it. I'm just not that type of gamer.
Yeah.
But tying whatever this virtual console, the new thing into it, you got me.
Nintendo Flix.
It's so cheap.
Nintendo Flix. That's what I want.
And it This is the basis of that. To really sell me is I want more. When they first announced the pricing on the Nintendo Switch Online stuff, I talked about this in detail, but I actually am disappointed it's as cheap as it is, because that tells me they're not going to go as hard as I want them to.
Yeah.
Them saying that it launches with 20 Nintendo or NES games, we know 10 of them already. We don't know the other 10. I imagine we'll kind of get some of those answers tomorrow. And I'm hoping that they kind of like start giving us plan into the future of what this a roadmap of what this online service can look. A couple interesting things about this direct. Jeff Keighley is retweeting it. The Game Awards are retweeting it. And it doesn't have any wording talking about 2018 exclusive titles. Mm-hmm. Usually Nintendo, when they say that, it's like, we're only focusing on 2018 titles. This tells me that we might see some 2019 titles. I expect to see something that we will then see a bigger blowout of at Game Awards.
Why call out? Oh, okay. Do you think that's how they're going to promote it too? Of like, hey, we're showing you this tease and you'll see more Game Awards?
Nope. Maybe. I doubt that.
Game Awards has been, and Jeff are pretty active usually retweeting like, hey, this video game thing's happening.
Yeah, but when it comes to Nintendo Directs, you can kind of start to tell a little bit of what's going to happen based on who's retweeting.
Okay.
Because of that, Monolith Soft is not retweeting. I doubt we're going to get much Xenoblade stuff.
Gotcha. I figure, you know, I was reading GameSpot had a rundown of what to... No, it actually might have been Polygon. Regardless, somebody had it up. And one of the things they called out was, this is our last chance really to see some stuff from World's End is with You. So you'd imagine there to be something there, right?
And that's what I'm saying. It's like, we're going to get a lot of that stuff. I think we're going to get a highlight on Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee. Super Mario Party.
New Smash characters. You said Smash information.
What's amazing to me about Smash is that they've already revealed so much. The idea that there's still more left over is incredible.
We know there's still more characters, and we know that there's this mystery mode that is probably going to be some type of single player mode. I wouldn't be shocked if we don't get that tomorrow, if they're saving that for the November direct, if that ends up being a real thing. But I can see we're going to get new characters tomorrow. If I had to bet, I would say Isaac from Golden Sun.
Okay.
Pulling that out of my ass.
What's on your wish list? What would you want to see?
David Scott writes in kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, Happy Widow Wednesday, boys. I know Tim isn't on KFGD today, but I bet he'll be there anyway. And I wanted to ask what his Gatorade Get Hype moment would be for this direct. The question is also for you guys. What can Nintendo reveal tomorrow that would get you on the Tim Gettys hype level? Also, when will the 3DS just die? Please ask the chicken for consent first, David Scott.
The 3DS is in its dying breaths at this point. They're going to talk about Luigi's Mansion. I'm going to be shocked if they announce too much 3DS stuff. I think they just put that in and they'd be like, look, this is happening. Prepare yourselves. Don't be mad when 3DS stuff is talked about. Get hype stuff. I don't know, man. Like, I really feel like we're at a place now so far into the year that there's not much you can give me that would blow my mind besides crazy Smash announcements like Crash Bandicoot or things that are just very Tim specific.
Yeah.
Besides that, I really just want to see the things that we're all kind of expecting. New Super Mario Brothers, Wii U, some type of port. It has to be real at this point, I think. And I think that tomorrow would be where you announce that for a, I don't know, October release, November release, something like that to pad out the holiday. In terms of just pure hype, I think an Animal Crossing would be interesting.
Oh, yes, please.
Because I can see them announcing Animal Crossing for spring 2019 and having Isabel be announced as a...
Oh. For 3DS Smash or character. For Switch? Or both?
Switch.
Okay.
For Switch.
Yeah, I want Switch. Yeah.
Everyone will rage.
Oh, my God. Certainly with my wife. That would be our household's Smash Brothers, the way Tim is with Smash Brothers. That's how we will be with Animal Crossing.
Yeah.
I think there's a chance we'll see either Bayonetta 3 or Metroid Prime 4. I think that the Game Awards, like, kind of retweeting and all that, like, kind of hints at that. I think that if we see Metroid Prime, it might be the trilogy.
Them
finally being like, it's happening, it's real, it's coming to Switch. Be excited for Prime 4, and that might be the Game Awards reveal.
When you mentioned the death of the 3DS there, that kind of hit me for a moment because I'm thinking it's 2018, 30 years since the Game Boy now. Mm-hmm. 88, 89 is when the Game Boy came out. And it made me think they're not going to replace the 3DS, as far as we know. It doesn't make a lot of sense.
Lord hope.
So is that the end? Just buy the Switch.
I was going to say, does that mean the end of 30 years of Nintendo handheld gaming? Or does Switch now carry that legacy on?
I hope it's the Switch. I hope that they just double down on this being a hybrid and go forward. I would not be surprised if Nintendo...
Do you think that the Switch has made the 3DS obsolete?
Yeah. It's getting there. I until the Switch has a entry level cheaper model,
right?
It can't replace it because you need that the kids toy version,
the $100 Switch. Because you can get a 2DS for under like $80 or something.
The Switch needs to get down to like that's really cheap. I would say even $200 is that kind of level to get the kids their.
The Switch is not an impulse buy the way game. That like a 2DS might be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, we've talked about this a lot, but the thing about the Nintendo handhelds is most families and households that own one don't own one. They own three.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, it's like the one for each of the kids or one for the both parents or whatever it is. And I feel like the Switch needs to have that kind of crossover moment.
Well, I'm bringing it back to the online announcements. Hold That's on, one of the things I hope that they will announce is the ability to, once you download a game, play it on any Switch you have in the household. Because right now, we wanted to get a second. There's a little bit of fighting over the Switch in the household these days because everybody wants a piece of it. I would get a second Switch, but the games aren't going to show up on the second Switch, you know, because it's you know, a discrete console, unlike PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, where you know you buy the game and it shows up on every console that you own.
We're getting cloud saves with online. We're not.
I'm hoping that they announce some kind of cloud thing that will enable people to buy a second Switch and feel like they can still play the same games on it.
I don't think that's going to be for a while.
You don't think so?
I think eventually it'll happen, but I wouldn't bet that it's going to happen. I think that it will.
It makes so much sense. Like, what would be the reason to not do it?
Nintendo.
Yeah, that's always it, isn't it? Nintendo.
Here's my question in this vein of needing a cheap handheld, right? And the anniversary and everything we're talking about. Isn't it around this time of year when they announced the
NES Classic?
Yep,
and stuff?
NES Classic, SNES Classic. Oh, and then there was the rumor of a Game Boy Classic that has 50 games on it.
If history tells us anything, the classic systems are not announced in directs. They're announced as just
press
random ass Tuesday now. Press release. Yeah. Like, so I think they're going to continue that. Like, them saying they're focusing on 3DS and Switch, I think they're going to focus.
Do you think
on
a Game Boy Classic is in our future though?
You think, yes, what do we get next? Point, do we get Game Boy or do we get N64?
I don't know. I think it's a real toss up. I think
there's a lot more nostalgic affection for the Game Boy than there is the N64. I feel like Game Boy would be next.
Well, it'd just be that's what we're talking about, right? Of like, all right, cool. Like, you want this small toy, a video game toy for kids, right? All right, here's a Game Boy that has 50 games on it.
What would need to be on it other than Tetris?
I think that's the problem is that when, and we've talked about this before on Gamescast, but we're at the point now where I feel like there are many more technical issues or licensing issues when it comes to the N64 and Game Boy than we've seen with NES and SNES.
Yeah.
N64 obviously being such a multiplayer focused system, those controllers are going to drive the price up.
Would they go truly old school with a green screen monochromatic Game Boy?
Oh, yeah.
You think? They would go straight to Game Boy Color?
Well, maybe it can be either, right? If you're playing Game Boy
Classic. It would help them make it cheaper, I guess.
Yeah. But if they put multiple Game Boy stuff in there, right? Or if they're putting Game Boy Color games in there.
I don't know. I'd be interested to see what a Game Boy lineup could look like. Because the Game Boy had a lot of games, but it doesn't
have... Terminator 2, man.
I'm joking. It's like, but no, like really, you're making a good point where it's like there's just not that many Game Boy games that people would be dying to play that they're gonna put on. They're not gonna put all the Pokemon games on.
I bought Game Boy the original Classic. Game Boy, the big chunky one.
Of course,
in 1988 or 9 when I think it was 89.
Did you get it for like your 35th birthday?
It's good. Your material's getting better. I got to give you credit. I got it in 89. I got it with Tetris because you remember it came with Tetris right in the box, packed in, best bundle ever. And that Tetris cartridge, I still have the Game Boy, and it's still in there today. But it's essentially fused itself into the Game Boy. Now I never put another game in it because you know what? You don't need another game.
Don't need another one.
You don't need another game. That would be the ultimate desert island game.
Where the hell is Tetris Effect? You know, I digress.
Tetris Effect?
Right? It's done.
Soon,
it's Tetris.
Right? Soon?
Apparently. I'm waiting on it. Steve Smith wrote into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, "Hi, KFGD. With the next Nintendo Direct being the fifth Nintendo announcement video within a month, he says Smash Brothers, Indie Highlights, Nindies, Dragalia Lost. Is this too many? Would it have been better for these announcements to be spread between a September Direct and E3 or two videos a month after E3? Of course, I am excited about the loads of games for my Switch, but I feel like they could have consolidated these announcements better. Thanks for being my daily commute podcast and keeping me in the know, Steve Smith."
The only criticism I have of how they're doing this is I just feel like there needs to be, and this is a very selfish thing from being on the media side of this, a more concise understanding of when things are happening sooner than we're getting.
Because you're streaming this tomorrow, right?
We're streaming it tomorrow, but there's like the European Nindies showcase. That happened and I just didn't fucking know.
Yeah.
Nobody knew until it happened and I woke up and I'm like, oh, that was a thing. And I just don't like that. Or like the Dragalia Lost thing. It was just like, it was such a quick turnaround for that happening. Yeah. Besides that, I do think they're doing a very good job of having like constant headlines.
100%.
Headline generating things, giving Dragalia Lost its own direct.
Let them have these beats,
gave
right?
it a chance.
Yeah.
You know?
Same thing with the Nindies. Like, don't, you know, don't do, all right, well, there's going to be a section of the Nindies before or after Smash because nobody cares. They, you know what I mean? Like, you want them, you want the people there for the right reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, a lot of people get mad of like, oh my God, how many times are you going to do a Smash only direct? Dude, let them keep doing their thing. Smash is going to be their big tentpole of the year, and it's going to continue to be a huge success for them for years to come. And like, Smash is a marketing tool for other games. And that's why I think that tomorrow we'll see some character announcements, whether the new characters or Echo characters, that come from other game announcements or other or the updates. That's why I think the Pokemon Let's Go news could segue into Incineroar, some Gen 7 Pokemon being announced in Smash.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Tim Geddes, thank you
thank
for your
you.
Expert analysis.
I'm very excited. It's going to be good.
When is that
good
again tomorrow? Baby.
3 p.m.
3 p.m. Okay.
Yes.
I'll watch it on twitch.tv such kind of funny games later.
We'll be doing
a live reaction.
Yes, we will. I think it's just going to be me, but it's going to be good.
Who else do you need?
Gary can come over and just be like, who's this? What's this? Who's this guy?
I might.
There you go.
I'll come over and Tim can
2:45
give me the give me the layman's guide through it.
I believe when I see it. You've said that before.
What?
You'll come over for something weird.
Okay, all right. I'll tell you right now. I'll come over for it.
All right, fine.
And you can hold me to it.
2:45. I'll
2:45 tomorrow.
Hold you.
Yeah. I'll be there.
All right.
All right. Okay. Wait. All right.
All right. Fine. All right. It's happening Thursday. All right.
Okay.
Great.
Fight.
Good.
Fight.
Number two. EA has put out, and the Madden team has put out the Jacksonville tribute stream details. This could have been housekeeping. I put it in here, of course. One of the reasons because I won't be here tomorrow. I'm going to go be a part of this Jacksonville tribute stream for obviously everything that happened at that Madden tournament. But here is the official line from EA. This Thursday, September 6th, we will host the Jacksonville Tribute live stream, bringing the gaming community together in support of all those affected by the tragic events on August 26th.
EA is doing this.
Correct.
Okay.
What did I say?
No, you did that. I just wanted to clarify.
Okay,
that
sure.
This is an official EA event.
Yeah, this is an official EA event. We had talked about it and announced it last week that they were going to do a Jacksonville tribute stream. They also donated $1 million to the Jacksonville tribute thing they were doing for all the victims.
Okay.
It's tomorrow, Thursday, September 6th, 5 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. Eastern time. So Pacific time, that's 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. You can watch it on the EA Madden NFL Twitch. That's what we'll host on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Actually, wow, this is going to...
So Kind of Funny is going to turn over and host this for that?
Yeah, we'll host this, I guess, up until the Nintendo Direct, since Tim's going to do the live reaction to that, and that's content. But I'll be down there doing this. So the first hour you can catch here, or you can stick with it on EA Madden NFL Twitch. It's also going to be on YouTube. It's also going to be on Facebook. It's going to be on their Twitter, EA Madden NFL, and then it'll be on Mixer
on
at Mixer.com/Madden as well. You got to be these days. You know?
Got to be. You got to be on every network.
Their description of it continues. The live stream is meant to be a place where we can remember Elijah Clayton and Taylor Robertson. Lend support to the victims of the horrific and senseless act that has shaken us all, and share in the healing power of play with the entire gaming community. The stream will be hosted by some personalities well known in the Madden community, including Scott Cole, Rico Williams, Adrienne Lawrence. Adrienne, you think?
Adrienne.
Maybe. Lawrence and Dave Grunfeld. But we hope to reach far beyond Madden and share in 90 minutes of doing what unites us all, playing video games.
Good for them.
Super honored and excited to be a part of that.
And how is there is this intended to raise money in some way?
That's the belief. I believe that's the idea.
I guess during the stream they'll tell you how you could
exactly, because they have it. They had made a big deal about it. They started this Jacksonville tribute that they're putting the money into.
Right.
So I assume that's what's
happening. It'll be like a telethon kind of deal. Like,
I would
you
think
can
so,
call
yeah.
in or donate this web address or whatever.
Sure, but it might just be about healing as a group, which obviously
that's
I want
to
be a part
the
of.
Good. I mean, when these terrible things happen, the one good thing that comes out of it is community always comes together.
Of course. Well, I mean, especially for this, right? Being brought to our doorstep, that we want to make sure, gaming is remembered for what gaming is, not for what one horrible act made it to be.
Right.
Number three, 505 is announcing a new game or partnership. Stick with me. James Batchelor over at GamesIndustry.biz has this write-up. Typhoon Studios has teamed up with 505 Games for the release of its first title. The project itself remains unannounced, but it will be for multiple platforms and will, quote, let players drive the action, according to Typhoon's focus on intertwined gameplay systems and collaborative play. Typhoon Studios is, of course, notable for being co-founded by Alex Hutchinson, creative director on Far Cry 4 and Assassin's Creed. He left Ubisoft Montreal last year and spoke to us at length about his plans for Typhoon back in January. Hutchinson's fellow co-founders are former Warner Brothers Games Montreal technical director Yassine Riha.
You're on your own for this one.
Okay. And that studio's co-founder, Reed Schneider. Typhoon's debut title will join the ever-expanding lineup of games being published by 505 Games. Stick with me. This is what I think the news is. Sure, Typhoon Studios putting out their first game. They have obvious talent there. Far Cry 4, Assassin's Creed, WB Montreal. You're seeing a lot of great names there, a lot of good things. I want to talk just a heads up of what 505 is doing, right? Other games being published by 505 Games, which include Other Side Entertainment, Underworld Ascendant, the spiritual successor to Ultima Underworld, Koji Igarashi's crowdfunding Castlevania-esque Bloodstained, and Remedy Entertainment's Control, the studio's first multi-format title since 2002. I put this on there because, personally, for years, I've thought 505 makes bad games. Because personally, for years, they made bad games when I was at IGN. I don't know what and when the switchover was, but I know the past two E3 judges weeks, I've gone down there and I'll look at the schedule and it's like, oh, you're going to go see the 505 games lineup. And I'm like, really? I remember year one.
Well, what are some of the games that they've made? I'm not familiar with the
Kevin,
name.
What's the party mode? You might need to get into the back. I think it just went up. Laser League, right?
Yeah, I think
they published right. Laser League, which is a really fun multiplayer game.
Bro.
It's tough, yeah. We're getting the party mode is us getting our ass handed to us by the AI because we're so bad. They did that last day of June. I talked a lot about it after last year. It's come out. It's on every platform now. It's a heartstrings tugger made by the guy who did Murasaki Baby.
All right.
And now it's the idea of they have Remedy, the people who did Alan Wake, who did Quantum
Homeworld?
Break. Yeah.
No, that was Relic.
No, yeah. Remedy was Max Payne, the originals.
Alan They've Wake. Been quiet for a while.
Exactly. Well, yeah, they did Quantum Break, which didn't go anywhere, sadly. Okay. Games with Gold, I think, still maybe, or was it last month? And then now they're doing Control, which is making a lot of hubbub about Control. Went and saw that demo at E3, and I was like, fuck, this looks awesome.
What kind of game is that?
Control is a sci-fi thriller. Where you basically work for the department of, like, and I'm going to get this wrong. You feel free. This is you can give me a correction here. Kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. But basically, like, there's like, not Department of Mystical Arts or something, but there's like, hey, we know there's like a supernatural thing. You work for the Department of Supernatural Things for the government, and all hell's breaking loose. But it looks beautiful. It looks like, you know, similar to Quantum Break, where it looks almost like real, where you're walking through doing all this stuff.
Got it.
505, I think. Turning around a lot of perceptions I had about them, and I think that they earned through the year when they were a smaller publisher making maybe game those mid-tier games I was shit on or whatever. I just thought it was interesting that again you're seeing them make moves and come out and try to change perspective on what they are, and I think more power to them.
Okay, and the Typhoon stuff sounds good. Spiritual successor to Ultima Underworld. I'll check that out.
That's not that game. That's Other Side Entertainment's Underworld Ascendant. That 505 is publishing under Other Side Entertainment's Underworld Ascendant. The spiritual successor.
But this is all under the 505.
Correct.
Banner,
right? Yeah. Typhoon Studios is making some new game that's let players drive the action, intertwined gameplay system.
I'm liking all these spiritual successors.
Sure.
Spiritual successor to Ultima Underworld, spiritual successor to Castlevania.
Yeah.
Classic games coming back in a new way.
You won't give us the IP we made popular? Yeah, fuck you.
We'll go make our own thing. Yeah,
and Bloodstained on there, obviously. One of those. Mike Power, though, writes in with a long-winded question. Stick with me. He wrote into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, Dear Gary, a fellow Brit here from London, oi, and I had to write in to thank you for introducing me and my group of friends to Space Rocks. It completely took over our weekend as we headed down to the River Thames to pick up
Wait, back up. What? The River what?
Thames.
The river Thames?
Yeah, I'm about to go there. I'm
excited
to see it.
Stick with that, River Thames?
Thames?
All right.
What do you call it?
Thames.
Oh, no, that's not how they spell that at all. That's how they spell it at all.
Yeah,
that's
wrong. Yeah,
you spelled it weird.
I'll give you guys
phonetically, it's pronounced T-E-M-S.
Oh, they don't write that way, though. Yeah. When I get there, I'll explain it to people how to pronounce English words.
Yeah. And make sure you visit Leicester Square while you're there.
All right, they moved down to the River Thames to pick up the very best stones and pebbles we could find from the riverbank and hurried away to the nearest Costa Coffee to begin a round. God damn it. Costa Coffee.
Oh, the more you do the English thing, the more I get to correct you. I love
things
this.
Things started off slow as we got to grips with the rough and tumble gameplay, but after a few dodgy elbows from my mate Giggsy,
yeah, you got that one right.
From things took a turn for the worse. I was ahead 5 space rocks, and they all knew it. My lead was unassailable. Before I knew it, my other friend Spud. Are these real English names? Spud whipped out a packet.
I mean, they're not super. I mean, they're more nicknames. But
Spud whipped out a packet of high power caffeine pills purchased at the local Esso petrol station, downed the lot, and charged at me full force. Pinned to the wall, life fading from my body, red mist descending in front of my eyes. I was barely conscious when he moved in close and yelled in my face, "If I wanted to know what games came to the mom and grop shop today, where would I go?"
All right. That story was redeemed at the end there. I like that.
That's how they do it. When they give you the long lead-in. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was a good lead-in. And again, shows you the power of Space Rocks. What I like about Space Rocks.
Yeah.
Because you and I have not had the chance to talk about this.
No, I still haven't gotten the full rundown of Space Rocks.
Was on the show. Well, I'm not going to redo it.
No, I got to go watch it. The show from last
Wednesday. But this is one of the beauties of it is what we call emergent storytelling.
Yeah.
There's no actual story in the game, but like much like in a game like PUBG, there's no narrative in the game, but great stories organically emerge out of it. Like you want to come home and tell your fishing stories. Oh my god, you wouldn't believe what happened in PUBG today or whatever. We wouldn't believe what happened in Space Rocks.
Yeah.
Oh my god, there was so much blood.
A lot of blood in Space Rocks.
Oh, there were. If you're playing it right, yeah.
Okay.
If there's no blood, you're not playing it right.
Can all the rocks be hard enough? Can all the rocks be the same size?
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Oh, wow.
That's what the beauty of it.
Kevin, do we still have all those rocks?
I still want to talk to you about doing an official Space Rocks set.
Sure.
Like a kind of funny approved.
Patreon tier.
Yeah, throw a few gas station stimulants in there.
Okay.
What is it with the gas station stimulants?
Just read the goddamn list title.
Wow, it's a short list.
It's terrible. Wednesdays are terrible.
Wednesdays? You got to move me to a different day.
Yeah, it does. It's the alliteration. The alliteration, though.
Did we do the intro for the list? And I just spaced
out. Oh, no, we're waiting. Gary's still stalling over here.
Oh, got it.
Wait, when do you do the little jingle?
Now.
At the end of it.
Oh, at the end
of
the list?
You read it, and then I go, do, 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 do.
Well, then you're going to get to it quick. Oh, wait, hold on. There's some good dates here.
Read the title. There it is.
I've lost track of this entirely.
The bit is
the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily show hosts each and every weekday. That's right. I have missed that.
Yeah. Out today, Full Blast on Xbox One.
What is Full Blast?
I have no idea.
I'm going to pull up the trailer. Have a quick look.
Kevin, can you look up Full Blast on Xbox One?
I like it when there's a game on the list that we don't know what it is. I want to investigate. I don't like not knowing things. Is he there?
He's ignoring me.
I'm getting a text from someone.
Oh, well, you know, don't let the live television show get in the way of your texting.
I'm going to get there. It's a work related.
While you get that, I'll give you some new dates. Listen to this one. You love a good fuckery.
A good fuckery?
Battle Right Royale is slated to launch on Steam Early Access.
I wonder what kind of game that is.
Battle Right Royale? Oh, man.
My goodness.
R-Type Dimensions will be launching worldwide on the Nintendo Switch.
Ooh, wait,
and
hold on.
Steam.
R-Type?
Yeah.
R-Type?
It's the old ones put together. The ones from like a decade ago. I saw Damon tweeting about it. The ones we used to play back in the day.
Oh my God, daily.
Well, hold on. R-Type's a lot older than a decade.
Well, I know, but these are the ones, according to Damon Hatfield, IGN.com, these are the ones that are like the ones we played a decade ago.
So it's like a compilation of R-Type titles?
I think so, yeah.
I loved R-Type when I was a kid. What do you like better when you were back in the day? Were you an R-Type person or were you a Gradius/Nemesis person?
Gradius.
Because in the UK, Gradius was called Nemesis.
No, I didn't know that. Right, here we go. Now we're looking at... Okay. Are we looking at Full Blast? This is a Full Blast trailer available on Xbox One.
This is 14 minutes long. We're not going to look at the whole thing. Do you not have a trailer?
I didn't know. No.
That's a great call.
Do you see a trailer?
Put in Full Blast Xbox One trailer. Here we go. There you go. It's autofilling.
Xbox One. Okay. There we go.
There we go where?
Wait.
That's a montage.
It must have been mentioned in the E3 montage.
Just go back to the original video and we'll just look at a second.
Heavy Metal Machines releases September 19th, early access on Steam. Meet Possible Chapter 1.5 will be released on Steam, iOS, Android September 19th. Dead in Vinland.
Oh, it's a vertical shooter.
Oh, okay.
You know what? I miss games like this.
Yeah.
Whatever happened to the remember 1942?
Yeah.
Typhoon, things like that. I miss these kind of games. Just like good old-fashioned vertical scrolling shooter. Actually, it looks pretty decent. This is out today?
Yeah, Xbox One.
I might buy this.
Okay. I want to review later on. Maybe tomorrow after you do your Smash Brothers thing.
He's not going to buy it.
I know.
I might. How much is it? Find that out.
I'm going to say... I was going to say $9.99.
Yeah, if it's more than $9.99, I think they might be taking the piss.
Meet Possible Chapter 1.5 will be released on Steam, iOS, and Android September 19th. Dead in Vinland's first DLC, The Valhund, will be available September 19th, 2018 on Steam. And then Terra comes to PlayStation 4 and Xbox One on 9/18.
You got anything on
Full Blast? It's on sale right now.
Oh, it's $4.79?
Yeah.
Down from $5.99? All right. Okay. They almost had me at 10, so that's a good deal. I'll play that.
Look at that.
Do you have anything on R-Type Dimensions, or do you want to get some more texts?
Why? Why, Gary?
Just don't you don't have to put YouTube in that one, just R-Type Dimensions.
One of our friends was hitting us up about doing a charity thing. I'm just wondering.
Oh, no, I feel terrible now. No, it was about charity.
It's
you
cool.
Got me.
That's the kind of stuff I respond to during shows.
Was it really about charity, or are you just trying to...
I shit you not, it's like child cancer therapy.
But you had to look at the text to know that. And that's when the infraction occurred.
No.
Unless he's got a special... unless he's got his phone set up, it gets a special... You looked at your watch. How is that different?
Because it just buzzes and I look down. It's a flash, Gary. It's a flash.
It just happened.
Yeah,
you're supposed
right
to be hyper-focused.
Deals of the day for you. There are two new PlayStation VR bundles. The first one is PSVR Creed Rise to Glory and Super Hot VR. The bundle is $349.99 USD, $449.99 CAD. It comes out September 25th and includes the PSVR system, the PlayStation camera, the Demo Disc 2.0, two PlayStation Move motion controllers, and both Creed Rise to Glory as a Blu-ray disc and Super Hot VR as a digital game voucher.
Greg, let me ask you something.
Yeah.
Would you recommend the PlayStation VR to someone at this point?
I would.
Oh, you would? My God.
But you are, like, Kevin, you love your PlayStation VR?
I love it.
We just did an episode yesterday with David from Upload VR talking a lot about Firewall Zero Hour right now.
Is that like the SOCOM type game?
It's more like Rainbow Six.
Okay.
But yeah.
Is it good?
It's awesome. And you play it
with the gun thing?
Yeah, the aim controller. Yeah, me and Kevin love it so much.
I might have to come by and try that because that's the kind of game in VR that would get me excited about VR.
Yeah. It's fun, it works, it's great. Yeah, Kevin.
Gary, I think if you find a game that works for you that you can replay a bunch, like for me, I like Drive Club, and I haven't played GT Sport, but it's on my list there. But Drive Club...
In VR,
it's phenomenal.
Yeah?
It's phenomenal. But I have the whole setup. So I get in that little chair and... I'm gone.
How do you in the Rainbow Six? How do you move around? Because the one thing they can never figure out is how you move.
You move sticks.
They figured it out.
Oh, you do.
So you can do by default. It's quarter turns on the right stick for your body angle, and you move with the.
So you're not on a rail.
No. You can go wherever you want. Yeah, and it feels.
I gotta check that out.
I was gonna. The afternoon's changed. I might hook it up and play a little bit at work.
Gary, come to my garage.
If you hook it up, I may be interested.
Okay, cool. What I wanted to point out though is yes, I would recommend PlayStation VR.
Yes.
Right now, I saw Creed Rise of Glory at E3.
What is that?
It's a boxing game.
Oh, it's Creed?
Okay. It looks a lot like imagine like an HD Wii boxing. It didn't blow my hair back. However, Super Hot VR was my favorite PlayStation
Super
VR.
Super Hot is a VR flagship
and
title.
And it was my favorite PlayStation VR game until we just got Firewall. The second bundle, however, is PSVR. It's more for kids or families. PSVR, Astrobot Rescue Mission in Moss. This one is $299.99 USD, $379.99 CAD. Comes with PlayStation VR, the camera, Demo Disc 2.0 in both Astrobot Rescue Mission Blu-ray Disc and Moss Digital Game
I've
voucher.
Seen a bunch of these there's the different versions of the PSVR bundle. I've seen some that are the cheaper one that doesn't have the move controllers.
Yeah.
But if you want to get the best out of it, you really do need the move. You need the more expensive bundle if you don't already have the controllers.
If you're already going this far, I would do it. And what I would point out is that Astrobot Rescue Mission I played at E3 as well, a platformer that you're using the regular DualShock for, but like also looking in with your VR, moving your head around, seeing collectibles. It's a simple platformer. I'm excited for that one. I do want to play it when it comes out. And Moss is a fantastic PlayStation VR game / VR game available on other stuff now. So honestly. Both those bundles I can see a case for, and I'm a big fan of what PlayStation VR is doing.
Do you want me to put the full disclosure thing?
Oh, I guess so, yeah. Full disclosure.
I have a version of it that I'm throwing up right now.
Just throw it up. I think that's good enough for this part, because it wasn't like a review of all those things. But yeah, full disclosure, of course, PlayStation sent us PlayStation VR a long time ago, and then they've also sent us... Well, no, Moss got sent by somebody else. So I guess really just the fact that PlayStation VR sent us stuff. Firewall. Oh, and Firewall.
I'm surprised they didn't do a bundle with... What was the name of the Rainbow Six game?
Firewall.
So I'm surprised they didn't do a bundle with that, the aim controller, the whole thing.
Well, what they have right now is that if you can go to the store and you can buy the Firewall aim bundle. So you can get you can get the gun in the game. So you already have PlayStation VR.
Yeah, because I haven't seen that. Do they sell the aim controller separately? I haven't seen that.
Okay. Well, you mean by itself? I think it usually
comes bundled with a game.
I think it was either bundled with Farpoint or I think it's now bundled with this. I don't know. Kindoffunny.com/ you're wrong if there's any.
I've already got a bunch of VR stuff at home, but I don't know. This one sounds
good. I'll
look
it up right after this if you want.
Hook it up right up. I'll give it a try. Yeah, definitely want to check it out.
Oh, shoot. Did I ever download it? It'll go fast enough. Whatever.
All right.
Do you think it'll be fun just on his own?
Yeah, I mean, it'll give me the idea of it.
Are you meant to play? Is it more fun online?
Well, I mean, yeah. Well, no, that's the whole game, dude. Is it's 4v4 online.
Oh shit!
So it's me, Kevin, two kind of funny best friends versus whatever.
So there's no single player campaign or anything.
There's no campaign. There's tutorials and stuff like that you can jump through. But it is very much like play with your friends.
But I want to do shooty shooty with a gun. That sounds fun. All right, shooty shooty.
Here's the R-Type dimensions.
Let's take a quick look at R-Type.
This is the PS3 trailer. This isn't what we need.
But like I said,
the game is apparently, according to Damon Hatfield, the bundle of those games.
But
stop. R-Type Dimensions, Switch. Nintendo Switch, Steam announcement trailer.
Announcement trailer, yeah, there you go.
That one, top of the thing.
Yeah, second from the top. There you go. Bring it up. I loved R-Type when I was a kid.
IRM.
I always remember. You know who had the best version of R-Type back in the day? The PC, or what you would call the TurboGrafx.
Oh, sure.
Had a fantastic version of R-Type.
What was it called over there?
PC Engine.
Huh. There you go.
Oh, it looks like R-Type to me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
R-Type.
Yeah. This is giving me big nostalgic feels.
You're
right
in
now.
For this. This is getting it for you.
These games were hard.
Sure.
R-Type 2. Yeah.
All right. Well.
These look like they've been somewhat they've been remastered, or is this just what the arcade?
Oh no, this is
fly between 2D and 3D graphics. Oh, look at that.
Boy,
oh, that's pretty.
Oh, see now. Okay, now you've got
old school. Yeah, it has been remastered.
Clear co-op.
So you can press one button to play either. I love it when games do that. Press one button.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Remember Monkey Island
between.
Did that? You could just do it on the fly.
Yeah, switch between the
graphics. Halo did it as well, the Halo Anniversary Edition.
I got one more deal of the day for you. Gilly,
I'm getting that.
Gilly Brums writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, Happy hump day, KFGD crew. With only a few days to go and Spider-Man hype hitting all-time high, I wanted to let all the best friends know that they could grab a Spider-Man PS4 theme for free with the PlayStation Store's countdown to launch.
Nice.
Grab it while you can to get suited up. Shirts off, of course, this Friday.
So I got to get this Spider-Man game, huh?
Yeah, that's good.
I got to get it.
We reviewed it. We liked it.
You've already played it, I'm guessing?
Already platinumed it, Gary.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Are you able to talk about it now? Because the reviews are out.
There's embargoes still for like certain things they don't want you to spoil, which is totally understandable.
No, but you can give your impressions.
The FTC, they sent it to
us. Did it live up to your expectations? I mean, obviously, this is a game you had high expectations for.
Of course.
Running around with your shirt off, for God's sake.
Well, no, I'm taking shirt photos of a shirtless guy. That's not me.
Shirtless Spider-Man. Okay. You have a relationship like you're Peter Parker and shirtless Spider-Man is Spider-Man.
Exactly.
Okay.
Well, except for the fact that Peter Parker is Spider-Man. I'm not shirtless Spider-Man. I just take photos of shirtless Spider-Man.
I understood. Yeah. Okay, I get it.
Yeah, it's great. It's the best Spider-Man game of all time.
Is that a high bar?
I think so. Neversoft was really good, right? The Swinging 2 was great. A lot of people love Web of Shadows, Ultimate Spider-Man. There's been a lot of great Spider-Man
What did
games.
You decide, by the way, in the end, would be a good Superman game? Because I heard that Corey Barlog gave a pretty good speech.
I did
a
way better one of it. It's
you
just
did?
That like nobody cares what
you
Chucklehead
did. You did
Greg
a better
Miller
one
says.
Than the professional
oh
game
God.
Designer?
Oh my God, of course. He has no enemies, you know what I mean?
Superman has enemies.
No, Corey Barlog's one was just like, oh, he can fucking hear people and he can't save everybody.
What a joke. I think for me it would be a more existential thing, like Superman just chilling in the Fortress of Solitude, just contemplating the meaning of his existence.
Sure, okay.
Like more of a
whole game.
Sounds like a really interesting one.
It'd be an indie title.
Okay.
Because you got to go with something different, because you're right, it's tough. How do you threaten Superman?
I have a whole bunch of reasons and things I'll show you later.
All right. Kryptonian in there.
Exactly. That's
maybe
one of the
I know, is. But as soon as Kryptonite and Kryptonians are always the cheap mode way to do it. Much more interesting to do the Lex Luthor thing, fire nuclear missiles in two different directions
exactly.
and make Superman choose.
Yeah.
No,
great
Telltale. He's fast.
He's there's gotta be limit. We're getting off track. It's time for reader mail.
Fast.
It's time for reader mail, but first I'll tell you it's brought to you by Third Love. If you didn't know, Third Love is making great bras for great people. They have the perfect fit. Using thousands of real women's measurements, Third Love designs its bras with breast size and shape in mind, so they fit impeccably. Feel even better. They have the most sizes of any brand. Third Love added 24 new sizes, making them the industry leader with a total of 70. You can skip the trip to the store, find your fit in 60 seconds online, order, and try that on at home. No more awkward fitting room experiences. Of course, the Kind of Funny best friends, a diverse group of people. That's why Third Love reached out to us, sent us codes for our significant others. Gia has gone through and done all the stuff. For some reason, Jen can't be bothered. I don't know what her problem is. But Gia did it. She loves the strapless one. She is using the strapless one she enjoys. And then her friends also use Third Love, and they enjoy this black lacy one that apparently the guys in their life enjoy too. Third Love has the most sizes that we've already covered. Each size is designed specifically for a perfect fit, and 50% of women fall between standard cup sizes. So Third Love invented half cup sizing. Of course, there's a satisfaction guarantee. Third Love knows that there's a perfect fit for everyone. So right now, they are offering my listeners 15% off your first order. Go to thirdlove.com/games now to find your perfect fitting bra and get 15% off your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/games. for 15% off. Moondoggy82 writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, possibly stupid question, but why is Spider-Man releasing on Friday instead of today like normal? Why are they going about releasing this like Nintendo? I want to play it now.
Fair question.
A lot of Sony's big AAA stuff, they've been doing this too, where they shift this Monday, or I'm sorry, Friday release. I think it's I've always thought it was weird to release games on Tuesday. Hey, you just started the week.
Well,
and
most
this
media
game.
Gets released on Tuesday. New DVDs and things, new music gets released on Tuesday. But it's just the day for some reason.
Yeah, but I think it's like it's kind of. I understand that part, right? And I'm sure it has to do with shipment schedules and all these other things. I think as we move to this digital age, where well, whatever, why not have it available when you?
I
actually
mean, Friday's
want it.
The perfect day. You plow straight into the weekend with it.
You go, yeah. You finish your work, or school. You drive over to Best Buy if you're still buying digitally. You go home, and if you're still buying physically, and you drive home and you play it, right? Like it works for movies. Why wouldn't it work here? And that was always the problem with the Tuesday release of, I can't wait to play this game. I'm gonna get a few hours tonight and then go to school in the morning. Or go to work in the morning, right? Whereas this, you get to wake up and plow through.
You want to be playing the first day that a hot new game comes out and you're super excited. You want that to be on a school night when you got to knock off early.
And you figure it's got something to do, I would think, with word of mouth. I mean, first off, it's probably got to do with analytics. They've started trying this and doing this and they're seeing success with it, and that's why they continue to do it.
Yeah.
But I would assume, it does, everybody turns on their, I'm sure there's more people playing their PlayStations on Saturdays and Sundays and they look
who's
at their
gonna
friends.
Who's going to know? And again, who cares? A year from now, who's going to remember if Spider-Man came out on a Tuesday or a
Friday? Well, Moondoggy82 just wants to play it. That's all it comes down to.
He's just impatient. I get that.
Okay. Billy the Door says, Gary, please give us your review of the steak. Now,
the steak.
Everyone knows they follow Gary Wood on Twitter.
Well, I don't know if everyone does, but you
they
certainly
all do.
Anyone can.
They all do. You got this Tesla. You went and picked it up after Games Daily last week or 2 weeks ago.
No, it was a week ago today.
Yeah, you went and got this Tesla, and then you said, now that I have a Tesla, what I'm going to do is drive it to Vegas.
Well, we had a trip to Vegas lined up, and I thought it'd be a good opportunity to, kind of put the car through its paces, road trip it.
Sure. So it's not like, I remember, and maybe this has changed with real cars. I don't have a car. I remember back in the day, you buy a new car.
Do you drive? Do you have a license?
I have a license, yeah.
But you just choose not to have a car. Well, in the city, you don't really need one. Yeah, you don't really need one.
In the old days, though, I remember the last time my parents bought a brand new car, because I always get used cars, bought a new car. It was cool. You got to break this in. You got to do like 300 miles of regular road before you can get on a highway. Tesla doesn't have to happen because it's not that kind of engine.
Not as far as I'm aware.
Okay. How'd it go?
It was good.
The drive was good.
The drive was good. We stopped at the little supercharger stations along the way.
Yeah.
There's one that they just built in Kettleman City that has a very fancy Tesla lounge Tesla customers. It's kind of like hanging out in an airport lounge. They have kind of cool lounge music and cold brew coffee, and that was fun.
Okay.
But yeah, I like I said to you, I've got no idea what this is. All this news to me is totally new because when you go to Vegas, you basically live inside a
deprivation
an
chamber.
Impermeable bubble
right.
That reality cannot penetrate. But and when you come out the other side, you're like, oh, I guess the world is still spinning.
You get the Tesla to Vegas.
Yeah.
You go to dinner.
Yes.
And there they have a Wagyu steak on there.
Well, I wanted to go. I know
that's
that
a
I like.
On our end. I don't know.
I know that I wanted a. I wanted to go to a steakhouse. I like steak.
Who doesn't?
When you're in Vegas, it's some of the best. Many of the best restaurants in the world are in Vegas. And so I thought, well, let's all go for a really nice steak. So I called the concierge at the hotel we were staying at and said, what do you recommend for a steakhouse nearby? And he said, oh, Jean-Georges. Got to go to Jean-Georges. He didn't hesitate.
Okay.
I said, okay. So we went to Jean-Georges, and it was right across the way at the Aria Hotel.
Yeah.
And we went there, and beautiful menu and lots of good options. They have a 48-ounce tomahawk bone-in steak if you want to go large.
Yeah.
But our waiter, very nice guy, said I should point out, he's doing the specials. So I should also point out we are one of only 9 restaurants in the United States that has real Kobe beef from Japan. You'll hear people talk about Kobe beef and Wagyu steak and this kind of stuff all over the place. You can buy it at the market. But it's not the real stuff. It's not the actual real stuff from Japan.
What makes it different? What makes
it real? They literally massage the cows. They get massages.
Okay.
And it tenderizes. I know you're laughing.
I want it. I want it, Gary.
I think they play classical music to the cows, so the cows are like super relaxed.
Great. What
right
a life.
To the moment they get a
I was
going to
say, I'm never
going to
get a bolt in the head.
The massaging gets
they
the
give them
fat.
They give them
it
massages.
The
it tenderizes the beef to a crazy degree. It's relatively common in Japan, but outside of Japan, you need a special license to export it, and it's very expensive.
Okay.
And so we want only 9 restaurants that have it. But it's $60 an ounce. So just be aware, it's not cheap.
Okay, yeah, that's expensive.
And they sold it in 3, 6, 9, and 12-ounce sizes.
Should have gone the 9 ounce, you coward.
What'd you get?
I got the 3, because I wanted it, but I didn't want to go mental.
Sure, yeah.
My wife and I both got the 3
ounce. He just bought a Tesla. Let him be, Kevin.
We both. Plus, I'd taken a beating at the tables already.
Sure.
It was a little bit, But I thought, no, come on, when am I going to do this again?
Of course, one of those YOLO live it up
type moments. So I thought we'd do it. And we both ordered the 3 ounce cut, which is about, I don't know, yay big, like that.
Sure, sure.
You know, enough.
Oh, yeah.
We got lots of hearty sides to go with it.
Yeah, we got some mashed potatoes.
We were full by the end. We couldn't do the dessert menu.
Okay,
oh, no, we did. We got the chocolate lava cake, but we didn't eat much of it because we were like, bleh.
Sure, sure, sure.
But Bryce said, how do I know this is... I was kind of messing around with the way. I said, how do I know this is legit?
Yeah, yeah.
And he said he literally brought out this big golden plaque that they have from the prefecture in Japan where they make this stuff. And a special Japanese certificate. I mean, what do I know? It could all be exactly. Baked. But it was legit.
Kevin will print you up a certificate right now.
He said, Google this. And I Googled up a little. It said there was on BuzzFeed or wherever, there was an article from a couple of years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
Here are the only 9 restaurants in the United States that have the real Kobe beef.
Gotcha.
And Jean-Georges in Vegas is one of them.
Sure,
actually, 3 of them are in Vegas because, again, they go crazy there.
Of course.
So we ordered it. And it was absolutely, I said, is this going to live up to the hype? Because it will be the best steak you've ever had. Like, no question. Like, it's going to ruin you for steak.
What
do
they recommend? They go say, you want it medium rare? They give you
I said, how would you order this? Because I usually order steak medium rare. He said, medium rare is how the chef recommends it. So we both ordered it. I guess how I would have got it anyway. Medium rare. He said, he was telling the story, but we had a cattle rancher in here, this guy saying like a couple of months ago, and he said, oh yeah, we have a Kobe product in our, you know, that we're doing. And the guy's like, no.
You don't, sir.
You don't. You think you do, but you don't. Order this and then you'll understand.
Yeah.
And the cattle rancher ate the steak and then said, I can't put the Kobe name on these products anymore because it's so unlike this. There's the real thing and then there's all the fakes.
Yeah.
You've had a really good filet.
Oh yeah.
Like the best filet you've ever had. The taste buds are starting to go, just the sense memory of it. You know, a really good steak kind of melts in your mouth.
Yeah.
Not like this, though. I mean, it just instantly almost just dissolves. And it's so flavorful and so tender and so marbled and fatty in just the right way. You know, the fat is really what tastes good.
Yeah.
It's not a fatty steak, but it's got that perfect kind of
marbling. It's got
that perfect marbling through it. It was sensational.
All right.
Was it worth the money? I would say for one of those kind of like one-off things, I'm probably never going to do it again. Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I almost wish I got the larger cut because it was so good. It was so good. So if you're in the market, if you're ever in Vegas, I highly recommend it. It's at the Aria Hotel, Jean-Georges Steakhouse. Ask for the Kobe steak and get as large a cut of it as you can afford because it is absolutely phenomenal. Best
steak
I've ever
Kevin's
had.
Kevin's throwing up Grand Western steaks over here.
I know, but it kind of looks like this. It's like before it's cooked. And it's
So
you can see how marbled that is. Look at that. It's almost all marbling.
Beautiful.
A5 is, I believe, that is telling you that that's the legit stuff. And so there you go. $230 for what? How large is that cut?
This seems large, but I mean, this is just a random image I pulled up. Looks like. I'm not seeing any, like, it's just...
Yeah, this doesn't make any sense. I'm not saying anything.
But I'm
going to
go.
Yeah, any Wagyu cattle raised outside of Kobe must go by the names Wagyu or Kobe style. So you see that Kobe style?
Ah.
That's it's like imitation crab. It ain't the real stuff.
What, Kevin, let's get us a cow and massage it. Not for our own, but then we can sell it.
I think you got to know how to massage it, though.
You just showed me.
Look at how beautiful
just like this.
Yeah.
Look at how beautiful the marble
is. Oh, my God. It was incredible.
All right. Dizza writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, hello, KFGD crew. I'm writing in response to that reader mail question by Scooby Boo about how they believe you as an influencer have not done as much for the industry as a regular consumer. If you remember yesterday on the show, Scooby Boo wrote in and said basically that he found the fact that when we say as influencers, you should buy this game, that we don't have the right to say that because we're not paying for our games anymore, and that he as a consumer who buys his games does more for the industry than we as influencers who are promoting games. A whole bunch of people wrote in very upset about this. This is Diz's letter to represent all of you. Although everyone is entitled to freedom of speech, I thought it was rude and disrespectful. Without you guys, I would have never bought smaller indie titles like Celeste, Gone Home, Inside, etc. You guys directly influenced my decision to buy these games as well as reignited my passion for gaming, and I'm thankful for that. I imagine I'm not the only one. The fact that you don't pay for your games does not mean that your impressions and thoughts aren't incredibly valuable. Besides, we all value our money differently. Some people have lots, some people have little. You guys bring a lot of joy, entertainment, and information to our lives on a daily basis, so thank you from the bottom of my heart. I also think it was great that you decided to include that letter in the show, even though it was a bit of a downer. Thank you, Dizza. Thank you to everybody who wrote in with similar thoughts on it. Of course, talking about the games we've turned you on to that you've then gone out and bought and promoted to your friends and how the whole trickle-down system works. Scooby-Boo definitely said stuff I didn't agree with yesterday, but I thought he said it in a respectful enough manner that it wasn't.
But he was making the argument that because you get the games for free, you're not in a position to recommend them?
Basically shouldn't say buy this game because we didn't buy the game. But I think it's this argument that of like, how does it all work? And I still think that the fact that we're getting games for free and playing so many games makes our opinion broad, right? In a sense that maybe it isn't broad enough for everybody who's buying their games. Maybe
it's like Consumer Reports, you know, they pride themselves on the fact that they don't receive anything for free. They pay for every product that they test.
Sure.
And that's part of their, you know, integrity, I guess, is that's the argument that they make.
Yeah.
And that's legitimate.
Sure.
Let me ask you a question. When's the last time you bought a game?
Oh, I buy stuff digitally all the time.
Oh,
that'd
you do?
Be the thing. I think... No, I was going to say Donut Economy. I did get a code for that. But like stuff like that where I'm just on a whim, I'll see it and I'm like, oh, I want to get that. And like I'm getting ready for a trip. Switch games I buy a lot of.
I jump
in there and just buy, oh, whatever, put it on the system, whatever.
Yeah. I do remember during my time at... I actually do remember making this argument to my editorial team many, many years ago when I was editor of PC Gamer. We get games all the time and there's stacks and stacks and stacks of games sitting around and more literally probably get 10, 15 games a day would be sent into the office for review, and whether it's review code or a final copy in a box or whatever.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff we didn't even have room to review, like obscure stuff, and there's just not enough hours in the day. But I remember I said to my editorial team on a number of occasions, never forget, because it's easy to forget, in this position, this insulated position where we get sent free games, people pay for this
100%.
Stuff. And when you play a game and go, oh, that sucked, that wasted an hour or 2 hours of your time, but it didn't waste $60.
Yeah.
And you feel it more. And when you pay money for a game, you're more inclined. Everyone remembers this back in the day when you didn't have a lot of money, you'd save up for months to buy a new game. And even if the game sucks, you thought, well, I'll put $60 into it.
I gotta
play it to the grim death.
100%.
And so you do I do think you approach a game differently when you've paid money for it than when you don't.
But I feel like that's where we get to intersect, right? I agree with you, and I've never forgotten that feeling. We talked about this yesterday, of course. It's never lost on me how much money $60 is.
Yeah.
But I feel like then that gets why we take the job so seriously and playing the game so seriously and having an opinion so seriously, because my goal is to tell you if I think the game's worth your money or not, worth your time or not.
Right.
I don't ever want it to be that. Yeah, of course you're playing something that, oh man, this sucks, but at least I didn't waste my money on it. That's one way. My goal, of course, is then to be like, well, if you agree with me on games, you don't want to waste your money on this or put your money into a product, right?
That's the other thing is that, you know, money means different things to different people. But everyone's time is equally valuable.
Yeah.
And I resent that more. When I remember when I had to, one of the things about being, this is kind of the flip side. We get game on PC Gamer, we got games for free, but we didn't have the luxury of playing them for half an hour and decided we hated it and quit. Like, you have to play the game all the way through to review it. So we spent a lot, and most games, just like really anything, most games are bad.
Yeah.
That's the only reason why the good games are good is because they stand out amongst a sea of bad games.
Sure.
Comparatively. And so a lot, I remember having to play, and I resented the fact that my time was being wasted.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say wasted, but like I wasn't enjoying the way I was having to spend my time to play the game all the way to the end so I could review it authoritatively.
Yeah.
And I hated that. Hated it.
Yeah.
And so I always kind of felt like when I really disliked a game, I felt like even though I hadn't paid the money for it, it had cost me a shitload of time. And so I felt like I had as much skin in the game as someone who had played the game, who paid to play the game, but only played it for like half an hour, decided I didn't like it.
Let's stay on this track. Jay Black 2886 writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, When reviewing a game today, it seems that 7 to 9.5 is the average spectrum for reviewer scores. Would you agree that this gap should be widened? Are games consistently really that good? And if so, when does a 7 become a 6 and a 9 become an 8? Thank you. Go Pack Go. God, I can't believe I read that. I hear what you're saying, Jay Black. 7 to 9.5 seems to be the average, in quotes, spectrum of what you're seeing. I think it's that... especially for IGN, who's choosing now what they review. It's not like when I worked there and it was you review everything, right? I think you're choosing things and going based on the popularity of what's on your site and what you're serving your audience. What games your audience wants to know about? I would say at the big sites and stuff like that, you're seeing 7 to 9.5 because I would venture to guess that if it's a big title that people are investing a lot of money in, that there's a lot of hype behind, that people want to know if it's going to be good, that's generally you're going to get a good game on the other output of that. Ubisoft's putting all this money into the system and then pumping out a game at the end of it, right? EA's doing it. All these different companies are putting money, time, resources, personnel into this machine that then spits out a game on the other end. You would hope that that game is at least good, as it is at least a 7 and up from there.
I don't even like the out of 10 scale.
Oh, no, we were this is where the conversation came yesterday. Polygon's no longer doing scored reviews.
Right.
Yeah, and so like we were talking about that yesterday, David and I. And so, yeah, the conversation of reviews got in there.
And I applaud that, because without a score, it kind of forces you to actually read the review, yeah, and get...
Listen to the argument.
Rather than just scroll, you know, because we all do it, right? We scroll to the bottom and just look at the score.
Of course, of course.
And then depending on that, we might read the rest of the review. But there's more to it than that. When I started on PC Gamer, and they still do the percentage score, mm-hmm, which I've always thought is completely absurd. I railed unsuccessfully against percentage scores.
Yeah.
Entire life. Out of 10, not bad. For me, I like, if you're gonna have a scoring system, I think 5 stars is all you need.
Yeah.
Danny O'Dwyer was on Twitter the other day making the same argument.
Anything, yeah, he was commenting the way Bombcat or Giant Bomb started.
Giant Bomb does 5 stars, and that's all you need. He said anything more granular than that is too granular. Anything less, you would just go to a binary system at that point.
Yeah.
Is not granular enough. And I totally agree with that. I like a 5 star. If you're gonna have a scoring system, I like a 5 star system. But yeah, to your writer's point there. What's his name?
Jay Black.
To Jay Black's point.
Always bet I'm black.
I agree. I used to have this argument. I used to argue with my team a lot, I guess, now I think about it. Used to have this argument as well. I would say, use the whole scale. Yeah. If we're going to have percentages, use the whole scale. I would have someone...
That happened at IGN too, of explore the scale.
I would have someone they would bring in a review and I'd read it and it said, this game's absolutely terrible, complete waste of time, 58%. And I said, well, what's the 58 for? Like, yeah, I don't see nothing here where the 58, like, where are the redeeming qualities? What's good about it that the 58, how do you even arrive at 58? You just pluck that number out of the air.
Started. That was my problem. There's no scientific method.
There isn't.
So why get to 100 points? And that's to your point, Jay Black. And if so, when does a 7 become a 6 and a 9 become an 8? That all happens when you're talking about the writer's perspective and what they think and what they're taking away and what they value and devalue in a video game. That's the problem. Is that
if you were starting a new review outlet and you were going to let's say
well,
that
I did 3 years ago.
Well, let's say that Kind of Funny started reviewing games, which you don't currently do.
We do. I mean, we don't review them. Okay, so you're saying you want like written reviews,
yeah, like
video
good
review,
old fashioned reviews.
Okay.
What kind of conversation would you have about whether or not you want a scoring system, and if so, what scoring system would you have?
Well, here, let's bring in another person from the chat here, right?
Okay.
Over on kindoffunny.com/k. FGD, Laura J wrote in and said, good afternoon, Greg and Gary. My question is for Greg. Maybe I'm reading too much into this, but I notice you often make disclosure sound like a burden when informing us that you received a copy of a game. It's always a semi-annoyed, chill out FTC, we got this for review, mumble, mumble, mumble. Why is this? I think disclosure is a good thing. Is it because you came from editorial and you never had to explicitly... before? Again, not attacking you, but your tweets and tone of your voice always reads annoyed that you have to do this. You are correct, Laura, that the problem is I am annoyed. I feel that I've been in games journalism, or whatever you want to call it, games enthusiast press, for 12 years, and I've struggled with the transition from being viewed as a member of the press to an influencer. Not that I don't like press or influencers or anything like that. It's just the fact that, again, as we make all of this up, whether it be a review scale or how companies deal with you, PlayStation is the only company right now that puts us into a bucket as an influencer, and that has direct consequences on our work. So it becomes this thing of PlayStation sends us Spider-Man, they send us PlayStation VR, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And when we review that, we're supposed to put up, hey, the FTC thing of we were sent this for review. I have no problem disclosing things to you. I just feel it's weird that when I talk about anything else, I don't have to do that.
So you have to say that because PlayStation has decided that you are in the influencer bucket.
They've put Kind of Funny into their influencer bucket, which again, I'm not against. It just comes with, all right, cool, we'll give you games, but you have to do this. And so the annoyance isn't so much that I'm disclosing I got the game for free. As we've said since we started this, what Kind of Funny's ethics policy is, you will know everything. You know, like, it's the same reason whenever the messenger comes up, I'm like, by the way, my wife is doing brand management for that game, right? Like, I want you to know all this
full
stuff.
Full disclosure.
It's just always this annoying thing to me that I still think of myself as a member of the press. I'm still invited to press things. I am on the Game Awards the E3 Awards board that votes with all these other press outlets.
Right.
But then you get to this thing where, and It influences not only how we talk about games, it influences when we get games, it influences all, there's all these trickle down things that are annoying to me. And so
bullshit.
Thank you, Kevin. So the Laura, the annoyance of me in my voice isn't, I can't fucking believe I have to tell people where I got the game. It's, oh fuck, right. We've stumbled having a normal conversation about video games that we like and don't like, and would I recommend PlayStation VR? Of course I would. Da, da, da. Oh fuck, right. As Kevin brings up, this is an FTC thing because now I've given an editorial opinion about this thing. Right. And it's also fast and loose in terms of, it's when you review it, and then I think it's maybe when you do, but we've only ever been talked about the actual review product. So should I just put in the front of everything that if we talk about a PlayStation game, is this, that, and the other? And then does it? It's just so confusing.
And you don't have any problems saying that something sucks.
Oh God, no, fuck it. How many times have I told you these numbers of PlayStation games that are terrible? You know what I mean? But, and that's the thing, is just, it gets in the way in the fact that I don't have to do it for anybody else. So it's not part of my rigmarole. So I'm not thinking of it that way, and I feel like it would just be so much easier to be pushed back to the press thing. Yada, 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 yada. You bring up, if we were going to launch a full-blown review product and we were going to change the game, what would we do? It's an interesting point, because one of the reasons I think we're in the influencer bucket is that we're not on Metacritic because we don't give scores. And so then I'm still very much like, scores are stupid. And I shouldn't say that. I don't see the value in me giving an opinion and doing scoring anymore. I don't feel like I need to do that. I love the conversation with you, with Tim, with anybody who comes in about what we think of this game. And we obviously have an audience that appreciates that as well. I think as a business decision, it would be a better move for us to score. Mm-hmm. I think in terms of the vision of our business, we don't see it that way. So it's this thing that doesn't exactly match up.
It's a really interesting point that you just raised, that when you talk about word of mouth, and I say to you, would you recommend PlayStation VR?
Yeah.
Would you recommend, this or that? I don't ask you for a score. Right. I just want your impression. I never say to you, what would you give it out of 100 or out of 10?
Exactly.
And so it's funny how in written reviews and videos, we expect that to be somehow. And in summary, I would give this 8.5, whatever that fucking means.
Yeah.
I don't do that. But when we talk about word of mouth, when I'm getting my impressions from you, which I consider that a review. If I ask you how good you like the Spider-Man game, we'll talk about the nuances of it. Well, I don't like that you have to do this, but the combat's really good or whatever. We talk about all the reasons why we're actually going to like the game. The number, I don't need a number from you then, because I feel like by reading the review or hearing your review and hearing your impressions, I now know enough to decide whether or not that game's for me. I don't need you to put some arbitrary number on it.
And that's where I'm talking about the business vision, what we are, right? Where I think, optically looking in or out, like, oh man, if we did scores, that'd probably be better for us, right? But in terms of internally, that's not who we are. I always am going to be what Greg Miller is to the people who watch or listen to these shows, is you are my best friend, and you are sitting on the couch and I'm telling you about the game next to you on the couch. That's what it is. And you're right. When I used to do that with Poe, which is where I always dial this back to, telling him literally about the Neversoft Spider-Man. This is always in my head when I'm writing a review or talking about a game, what I'm going for, right? It never was what I would give it out of 10.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you long form what I think about this game, maybe short form, depending on how the day's going. But I'm going to express with my words and my feelings and my enthusiasm what this product is. And that's great. And that's great for us and what the Kind of Funny community is. But it sucks when I go to Reset Era and it's like, oh, the Spider-Man review roundup is up. And I'm like, great. And I scroll past all the IGNs or whatever their score is with their little blurbs. And then you get to a section that is video reviews. And there's all these people and our colleagues and peers that I love and love that don't score. And it's a quote pulled out, but Kind of Funny isn't. And it's like, oh, man, I still think of us in that vein. But I'm not, of course, trying to make any illusions about it. We put up the Gamescast every so often that has reviews, but usually the Gamescast is what we've been playing, which isn't a full-blown review, and it can either be super timely or can be way from the past. You know what I mean? Like, we put out a product that is very specific, and that's great, and that's awesome, and it's obviously been fantastic for us and makes a great thing. It just, sometimes I'm like, oh man, I wish I was in that other bucket. I wish I saw us get wrapped in, and that's why it's so cool. Falconbox, a Kind of Funny best friend, put out an image yesterday, right, that was the Spider-Man logo, and it was all the nines and tens it got, and then at the top he put pull quotes up, and he put Kind of Funny right at the top, and it was like, fuck yes, thank you. You know what I mean? That's all. And this is, in terms of the problems Kind of Funny has as a business, this is one of the bottom tiers. This is not even a problem. It's just like, oh man, I remember when people came to me and thought of me more as a reviewer than I think they do now. And granted, I'm the guy who takes the photos of shirtless Spider-Man. I'm not him. I just know shirtless Spider-Man. I do the comedy bits. We run around. I'm in a different spot. And so it's all these little things. And so, yeah, for Laura, I'm not at all ever annoyed about telling you anything. There's nothing more I think I love on a Kind of Funny Games Daily when we get into the behind, inside baseball of what is happening and why we're doing what we're doing. It's more the fact of, oh, fuck, right, I didn't say that. I should have said that.
Right.
That's all.
Got it.
Gotcha. Gary.
Yes.
It's time to squad up. This is where one of you writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD, giving me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you, and everybody plays games together. Today, Malik needs help on PS4. His PSN name is Assassin-Malik. Assin-Malik. I used to run raids in Destiny 1, but fell out of it due to school and work commitments. I just picked up Destiny 2 last week and grinder up to light level 340. I'm a hunter looking for some best friends to join my clan and prepare for the Forsaken raid coming up soon. If you want to play the Forsaken raid with Malik, hit him up. Assassin Malik, Assassin-Malik. It's in the descriptions. You can get in there. Gary?
Yo.
Now it's time for You're Wrong. If you didn't know, this show is broadcasted live as we record at twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. You can watch live and then go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up.
I'm curious to know what is in there today.
I'm sure they'll let us know. Don't worry. Oh, God. 22 is what I see.
22?
Now, again, a lot of them be doubles and a lot of them be stupid things we don't care about. Yeah, if somebody just wants to take a shot at me, doesn't worry. I don't mind.
Tell me his name. I'll get him.
T.G. Burt. Kevin.
T.G. Burt him. Taking a shot at you?
Nah, not really. Earlier in the show, you said the PlayStation 4 version of the game in regards to Marvel Spider-Man, as opposed to what other version? All right, man. Fucking yeah. Talking.
Well oh done.
God, thank so you. Good.
Well done. He'll sleep well tonight.
Kebabs, here's one. For specificity, the Game Boy released in 1989 in Japan and in the U.S. I'm sorry, 1989 in Japan and the U.S., 1990 in Europe. In 1994, it was released in Brazil and Yugoslavia, and he goes on like this.
No, they had to wait 4 extra years to get the Game Boy, or 5 extra years?
Oh, God. In 1995, it released in Tetris's own Russia.
Wow.
It's a long time to wait for one of the best games of all time.
For the game that they themselves made.
I know, right? Kebabs again. Nintendo announced the NES Classic in mid-July 2016 and the SNES Classic in late July 2017. So we're actually we're past the time when they usually announce. A lot of corrections that are doubling up on that stuff here. Oh, here we go. Capitalist Pig. Control Agency. The name of the group you are working for in Control is the Federal Bureau of Control.
I thought that's what it was.
Should have said something, man.
I should have. I tried to look it up, then I gave up midway through.
Oh, here we go. Hold on. Zaire writes in with a link. I'm going to read what it says here. He says, you can re-download Switch games from another Switch from Nintendo's website. It says, quote, On the second Nintendo Switch console, use the same Nintendo account to access the Nintendo Switch eShop. This is now the activated console on your account. You can use this console to make purchases and download games and previous games. You know,
yeah, but now the other one is inactive, right?
Sure.
I can't buy Zelda once and be playing it twice on two different Switches in the same household at the same time. I think that's correct.
Oh, yeah. No, you can't play it twice on the same. Yeah, it'd be like PSN.
Well, that's what I want to be doing.
But even PlayStation, you really can't do that.
No?
Well, I mean, like, because you would have to, you could have your PlayStation 4, have your main PlayStation, your primary PlayStation 4, download the game. Your wife can log into her PSN, use it on that console, and then you can use it.
Can I be playing Zelda on one Switch and Mario on the other at the same time, and they were both one purchase?
No.
See, that's not working for me either.
Okay.
But, like, that's...
I mean, that's just you being, pay for the fucking games, man, you know?
Yeah.
This is the household, family plans. Come on.
All right. Well, they're working on it, I'm sure. That's what I was confused. This Mario 3D. This is a good You're Wrong. Quantum Break was just added to Xbox Game Pass. It's not a Games with Gold. Thank you very much.
Okay. Ooh, I have Game Pass. Maybe I'll check it out finally.
Ignacio Rojas, 505 is not developing Control. It's publishing it. I thought that was clear.
I thought you made that clear.
Yeah, Remedy. But just in case, yeah, no, 505 is a publisher. They're working with developers to do stuff. Now, see, Zaire, new dates, the Ninja Warriors once again releases on Switch in 2019. I don't like just giving a release year. I want you to have a date if I'm going to put you in new dates. Just saying the year, I'm like, whatever. But I don't, that's possible. Oh, here we go. Capitalist Pig says the PlayStation AIM controller originally launched with Farpoint and now can be purchased separately for $60.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Zaire says Game Dev Story is coming to Switch with more details at Tokyo Game Show.
Oh, I love Game Dev Story.
I do, too. I'm a big fan of the game. No, don't care about that. Oh, here we go. This is interesting. Ignacio Rojas. The reason why games are released on Tuesdays in the U.S. has to do with publishers becoming more and more reliant on sales data, specifically SoundScan. They measure the number of weekly sales starting Tuesday through the following Monday. For the U.K., it happened because of big stores like Dixon's got frustrated with, and then it runs off the side of the page, and I can't figure it out. But that's interesting enough.
Okay. So they can get accurate sales measurements. So. Yeah. All right. Because DVDs come out, music, everything basically comes out on a Tuesday. But Nintendo don't care about that. They drop on a Wednesday.
Couldn't give a shit.
No, Nintendo, well, Nintendo get a Nintendo. Thursday. They do Thursday.
Oh, is it Thursday? Yeah,
if you remember, there's no games on Wednesday. Oh, yeah, so I'm you're bored.
That's right. Nothing gets released on a Wednesday.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, watch live on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. Watch later on youtube.com/kindafunnygames. Listen on podcast services around the globe. Tomorrow, Tim and Jared Petty will be taking care of you and getting ready for that Nintendo Direct in the afternoon that we're streaming on Twitch. I, however, will be off doing the Jacksonville Madden tribute stream. I encourage you to watch until Tim has to take over for his Nintendo Direct business. Until next time. I guess you're coming too, you say.
If you want me to.
Oh, don't try to. I said I would do it. So you did the woes like you had something else to say.
Whoa. Yeah, I thought you had something to add there.
This is backing out.
Right, no, I'm not backing out. I never like to show up somewhere unless I know I'm
2:45
welcome.
Tomorrow.
Best friends, clip it out. 2:45 like, tomorrow. I'm for sure coming. Just clip it out, best friend.
Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, it's been our pleasure to serve you.
And then tweet at him.
Turn off the lights!